Okay, so let's fast forward to when Europeans get here. That's a big jump. But so here are some. These are some more anecdotes just to show that even, you know, 500 years ago or less, the Gulf of Maine was a really different place than what it is today. So John Cabot comes to the New World. He described cod so thick that a person could walk across their backs. This is cod is the main reason that Europeans came to Maine. He was talking about Newfoundland, but it was the same story here. Just this hugely abundant resource. The European fish stocks have been pretty much fished out. Just a huge amount of cod, and you know, if you've been here for a while, I'm sure you've heard that New England was founded on cod. Hunters pursued right whales from shore, sometimes in wind or hand-powered watercraft. Try to imagine doing that today, or just imagine what the ocean must have looked like. This is a nice quote from Nathaniel Hawthorne, who he says, "I caught a black-spotted trout. It was almost a whale." This was in Sebago Lake, but similar story happens in the ocean. 18 and a half pounds. If you look on the Fish and Wildlife website today, you'll see that the average size for the species is about a pound to a pound and an eighth. So it's not just that the species that are there are changing, they're also getting smaller. And we see this not just in this one example, but throughout the Gulf of Maine. And then this is another one of my favorites. This is actually around the turn of the 1900s. Herring gulls were hunted nearly extinction. They were used in millinery, which is shown here. They were also just hunted for their eggs, which were really easy to harvest. And they're one of the early conservation focuses for the Audubon Society. So the reason that we have all these flying rats is because, you know, they were almost wiped out. And, that was an early conservation effort of the Audubon Society. So in many ways, the scene, if you could go back in time to any one of these time periods, you would see a really different Gulf of Maine. Along those same lines, we had pilot whales harvested by the thousands annually on Cape Cod. These are some images from a guy named Bill Leavenworth, who presented these at this kind of big Gulf of Maine meeting, which I'm going to get back to in a few minutes. So I'm sort of paraphrasing some of his research. But they recreated what a lot of the fisheries have looked like going back in time. Diagenous fish numbered in the billions. You guys have an alewife on here?
Not in Belfast.
Have you ever been down to like the one in Damariscotta or anything like that? It's just amazing to watch. We take the kids there every year. But it pales in comparison to imagining billions of fish swimming up Maine's rivers. Tuna was a bycatch of the coastal herring fishery. So think about that. There isn't much of a coastal herring fishery anymore. And we certainly don't think of tuna as bycatch. And then swordfish in Portland Harbor. Oh, I don't have that image anymore. But there's some great, Bill has some great imagery of swordfish being harvested in Portland Harbor. And I was just talking with Ron today. About swordfish up here and how cool it would be if, and they were up here as well, you know, how cool it would be to see swordfish up here. You know, I lived on Thieves Island for a few years. I took that ferry to work every day and just trying to imagine, herring weirs catching, loads and loads of herring and even tuna as bycatch and swordfish swimming around And now, of course, you see a lot of lobster pots, which is a good sign of some aspect of ocean health, but then you also see a lot of oil tankers and cruise ships, and I don't know, it's just a really different scene. So the point to all of this is that we often think about a past where the Gulf of Maine had this pristine, untouched state. But that's a bit of a fairy tale. The ocean, and especially the Gulf of Maine, has changed a lot, even since the times that humans started recording history, and especially since Europeans got here. We live in a changing system. It makes it really hard to say what the historical baseline is, which can make it tough for a lot of conservation efforts, or just management efforts in general, because that baseline is always changing. And I think there's not enough appreciation of that from a lot of anglers. And so for me, what this really brings up is the question of how do we live in a changing system? I don't think we should be trying to, restore something to a pristine state. We should be thinking about the system as already changing And what's the best way to live in a place that's changing? This picture, by the way, is the King Tide in Portland now. You know, the tires of these cars parked on the wharfs are underwater at the highest high tides now. So that really brings home the idea of a changing system. And sea level is one of the areas we're feeling the impact the most.